This was there were no grippy socks or anything, but they did they did ask me to turn it outside, turn inside out my sweatshirts that had beer logos on them. I showed up to rehab with so many clothes that had beer logos on them. I didn't really overthink that when I was packing. Your mic bean.
Did she bite anybody?
No, she was just like aggressive with other dogs.
Okay.
So it was like hard to take her to the dog park, and she was very muscular.
She was ripped.
Like Buffy was fucking shredded, man. Like in a way that like I'll never be.
Like you get. Pit bulls are ripped Buffy already, was just but like then that dog definitely
muscular
was benching
from like neck to toe, and she would like pull a lot on walks, and she was like not good with other dogs.
But
she had a good heart.
That's what matters. That's and what you see in the pit bull. They have a good heart.
They do. Yeah.
I'm bummed to hear. Like I saw those posts and whatnot, mm-hmm. and was like. I haven't talked to them in too long for me to text and be like, hey, I'm sorry about your dog.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know.
Well, I went as an envoy for you.
I appreciate it. You represented all
the celebration of Buffy's life.
All of Vermont comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was really happy last night. Also, hey, mm-hmm. welcome Kendall Farrell. Thanks for coming to hang out.
Hi, guys.
It was so fun last night to do a show again with you.
Yes.
Because of all of the...
It was just like the good old days.
Exactly. Like the Fran...
And I was doing some of the hits probably that you remember.
Franio's to White Bull, man.
Franio's to the White Bull.
If it stays
tavern,
in the act from...
What an upsetting pipeline that is.
At least we got out of Franio's.
Yeah. At least we're not... Yeah. At least we're no longer in the parking lot of that Kmart. For those of you who don't know, Franio's...
Paint us a picture.
I used to run an open mic there. It was a bar that was rated the number one closest bar to Kmart in all of the Burlington area. It was like in the parking lot of Kmart. And it was known for its decor, which was like centered around this like tank of like milky-eyed fish that were like blind and like just clinging to life, but they would just like bump around this tank.
I think clinging to life is a good way to describe that bar in general.
Yeah,
it just was
life.
Holding on.
The fish represented a lot about the bar. They were directionless, going nowhere, trapped in a dusty tank.
Directionless fish.
Yeah, and you know they were sort of a metaphor for the people playing pool nearby.
Oh, God, the pool. Oh, my God. We ruined so many pool nights.
We did. So the way that I rose to power at this open mic was the previous host went up 1 week.
Who
at
was
this
the
weekly
host?
Mic.
Oh,
we'll
Tom.
Bleep it out,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
You'll have to bleep it out. But
okay.
And so he was hosting one week and he goes up and he's like, so the tough thing about this mic was that it was at the same time as the pool league, which is like in retrospect, like why? Like surely there must have been another time of the week when we could have done this.
Not at
but it literally
Mondays.
Never. We were also new to comedy that it would never have occurred to us to change to change anything about this mic.
That's
and
such
so,
a good point. We're all still so new that we're like,
we had
yeah,
all
this
been
is
doing
comedy,
do comedy for like 3 days.
This is how you do. You
so
have
we
to
were
do
just
comedy
like,
with a pool league.
This is how you do it. And
with people really upset that you're here.
Yeah, I know.
As they play pool.
Yeah. So there was tension between the open micers in this pool league. And so he goes up one day and he's, you know, to kind of get the mic going. He's like trying to bridge, you know, bring the room together. So we can all share a laugh. And he's like, all right, pool league, how you guys doing? Are you ready for a comedy open mic? And he's like really trying to sell it. And then like as one, like as if they had rehearsed it in advance, the pool league all like turn away from their respective games and like in harmony were like, hey, why don't you go fuck yourself? And then the host was just like, sort of like, all right, cool. Well, you guys have fun. And then after.
We're still going to do it anyway because we fucking need this.
We absolutely still did the mic. Yep. Yeah, we absolutely. No, there was not a single person on the open mic list who was like, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Oh, perfect. This is a great setup. We got
if,
this.
If anything, it only like inflamed. Our desire to ruin these pool leaguers.
So wait, that was the last night that they hosted?
So that was the last night that this person hosted because they came up to me at the end of the mic and they were like, how would you like to host?
At the end? Next? Oh my God, they didn't even like sleep on it or anything.
No, they came up to me at the end of the mic and they were like, would you like to guest host next week? And I said, sure. And then I hosted that mic for over a year and a half. The original host. Never came back.
Would you like to guest host for the next almost 2 years?
Yeah.
And, I'm fucking done with this.
And so for like 2 years, I would host this mic at this like dive bar near a Kmart.
A dive bar is exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was a dive bar near a Kmart.
You know what though? When they did the renovations.
And I would give everyone like 10 minutes.
Which, dude, looking back, also real quick, do you want a water or anything? I have a seltzer if you'd like it.
Yeah, I'll take a seltzer. Okay. Sure. Thanks, Danny.
Thinking how crazy it was
that we would be doing 10 minutes. And we had
at least
no business any of us doing 10 minutes.
But like there's also no business between 10 minutes at an open mic in general.
No, open mics should never. But we had no idea what we were doing. So we were just like,
which is
how it is.
It was so pure.
Mm-hmm.
We were just there having fun, writing jokes, and trying to get better at stand-up. And dude, there were a lot of good stand-ups in that in Burlington at that time. That class was really, really talented.
People who have gone on to be on television.
Yeah, like it's a really good class of people.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we were all just like, there's seven or
doing
eight
10
of
minutes
us
at this,
consistently every week at this crappy dive bar.
I know. It's kind of the nice thing about like coming up in a smaller scene.
I agree.
Is if you're like starting in New York, you are never going to be given 10 minutes on any sort
of
stage.
Dude, you're
going to
go
years without ever doing a 10 minute set.
2 years without 10 minutes unless you get out of town. And
yeah, even in Boston, you're going to go years before you ever are on stage for 10 minutes.
And meanwhile, we were, I don't think taking it for granted. I just don't think we knew.
We weren't taking it for granted. We were having a great time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was definitely not like, wow, we know that this is going to change.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know. It was just a bunch of kids learning to walk.
I know, yeah.
And not to...
And it was great to, like, because we were all terrible. But it's like, if you're going to be terrible, like, do it somewhere where very few people can see you.
Dude, it's funny you say, like... I was about to say, too, it was fun learning to walk. And then last night, watching you run, man. Like, I mean, but also looking back.
Thank you.
I always would try to follow you as much as I could anywhere because you were the most polished of that class.
Thank you.
So, like, it sucked for a long time. But I don't think you can be like, yeah, we were all terrible. Because, like, you objectively have been a solid stand-up for a while.
Well, nobody's good at first, and I certainly, like, when I think about the stuff that I was doing in Franny, I was just, like, humiliating. Like,
I mean, just the gift of, like, you could write a notebook of thoughts every week and then just say it into a mic.
But you have to be bad at it to get good at it.
Yeah.
And stand-up's just one of those things where you can't be, like, if you're, like, trying to get really good at pottery or, like, woodworking or something, you can, like, suck in private.
Isn't that
with stand-up,
a,
like, you have to be
God.
Bad in front of... people.
Yeah, and you hope that you can find a space like Franio's that for the
that
most
you can,
part
yeah, you can practice.
You can practice
in
front of
relative
people.
Obscurity.
Exactly. Like, yes, the pool league fucking hates you.
Yeah.
But they won't the second they leave the bar, they don't know you as a person. It's just like the collective, we hate the comedians.
And the nice thing is that like by the time I got to New York, I had enough, like I was kind of like good enough that like the people who maybe I would like go on to ask to open for and stuff like that, they never really saw me like totally eating shit.
Like, they don't have like a perception of you of like,
yeah,
he's still baby Kendall.
Yeah. They already saw, when they started to see me, I was already a little bit developed.
Yeah. So this is something though that I've always, there's two questions. Normally I only prepare one question. Mm-hmm. Today I had two. Did you start in Burlington with us, or did you have a chapter here in Boston prior? Yeah.
So after I had dropped out of college, I was like kind of like looking for direction. Where? I went to Emory University.
Okay. Emory?
Mm-hmm. Emory. It's in Atlanta.
I thought it was a Southern. I get that one and Elon confused. In like North Carolina or something.
Yeah, it gets confused with Emerson a lot.
That also makes sense.
Which is also a great school.
Yes.
So I dropped out of there and it was like sort of.
How long?
I went there for business and computer science, and I know.
I'm sorry. Like
for somebody who knows me, that's
very
like
rude
so
reaction,
hilarious.
Wow. Business and computer science.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like, I did well enough in high school that my options weren't like super narrowed down. So when I went to college, I was just like, I'm just going to pick the highest income potential that I possibly can. And that's
and now
where, like,
look at you, baby.
That's where the money, like, stand I maintain up. That if I had been able to do well at those things, like, I would be making a lot more money than I am now.
You're rich in soul.
Yeah, I'm rich in meatballs.
It's really. Wait, how long did you make it at Emory?
I did 2 years there, and I was like, you know, my grades were just like steadily getting. I got like A's the first semester, and then like B's, and then C's.
You could just see the.
Like not interested in business and computer science, and I was like not having a good time. So I left, and then I was sort of like searching for a new direction. I was like. Did a bunch of internships. I had enough school that I was able to like get some good like internships. So I lived in Framingham for a while and I was doing this like marketing internship.
So you hated the business stuff, but you still after dropping out were like, well, I gotta do.
Well, I had to use the existing the skills that I had in order to like make some kind of money. So I was like doing this was like a paid internship, of course.
Okay.
I was not like working for free.
Which you would later do at so many shows.
I would later do at many shows. But so I was like doing internships. I took one in like near Framingham in Hopkinton, which is like a preppy town. And I was, I was doing this internship there in marketing. And, you know, it was then that I was kind of like decided to start doing mics. So I remember I like went online and I was looking for because I had always been like a fan of comedy. It had just never occurred to me that like I could do it because like I grew up in such a small town that like anything like creative was like so far.
Yeah, you go to college, you get the business degree.
Yeah, like the world I came from, like any sort of like
you get married to a girl and have a family.
Exactly. Everything that like anything.
A girl. Kendall,
yeah, exactly.
A girl.
I know. Yeah, Danny's really always been pressing me to get a girlfriend and settle down. This is really important.
It's a point of contention in our relationship. Yeah,
Danny doesn't talk about this a lot, but he goes door to door. with these pamphlets about,
please date my gay friend.
Yeah,
trying to save him.
He's trying to, yeah, and it's just a lot of pictures of me like topless on these like flyers that he's handing out. But yeah, like anything creative was just like a hobby. Like it wasn't something like,
yeah, it's never been like an actual career.
It was like, yeah. It was so far removed from me, so I never really thought to do it, even though I always had an interest in it. But I remember I looked up like open mics and Sean Carter, who we love, we stan, Sean Carter,
Carter.
Now runs the Blue Ridge Comedy
he
Club.
He does. Have you been down there yet?
I want to go
it's
down
really
there.
It's really wonderful.
And it's, I'm trying to figure that out with Sean. We've been going back and forth.
Yeah.
And he runs the Blue Ridge Comedy Club down in Bristol, Tennessee now, which is a great room. I've heard great things about
it. And the best part about going down there, yes, the rooms are great. Yes, mm-hmm. The crowds are great. You get to meet his dog.
You get to meet his dog. So you've done it.
I have, yeah.
Oh,
I drove it with Ryan.
That's
Shea.
A long drive.
It was 13 hours.
Yeah. I know. I do some of that drive because my parents retired to Virginia.
Okay.
Like Roanoke.
So you get to like post up for a second in
yeah,
Virginia.
Exactly.
And then you could go. Okay. Yeah. No, we did it straight through. He picked me up at 4 in the morning or something like that.
That is a long...
We made it down there. We did a show that night. Oh, stayed over. Did the next shows. And then I was... It was my birthday the next day. So, like Sunday, I believe. And Saturday, the shows end. It's, like, midnight. And I looked at Ryan. I was like, dude, let's just rip it. Let's just go. We drove through the night.
Let's just hit the road.
I drove till, like, 7 a.m., I think. I did, like, the first 7-hour leg. Incredible. And then we switched. And
yeah.
Actually, I think I kept... I think at that point I was so jazzed up of like,
honestly, you
I'm
know
a
what?
Real comedian. Like, we did a road gig.
You know
here
what I
go.
Think about all the time is like doing comedy, like, it's not that far removed from being like a long haul trucker.
It's not.
No. Except instead of like you get to take a nap at a rest stop at the end, you have to perform for like sometimes an hour. But the schedule is like
the
almost
schedule,
the same as like a long-haul trucker.
I was gonna say the scheduling and the
diet,
and the movement for sure.
Yeah,
but if we compare what we're delivering to that of a long haul trucker, it's like, yeah, my jokes are as important as this food. This truck that might be full of water. Yeah, it's as necessary.
I don't think I'm as important as a long haul trucker. I wasn't trying to get
No, you're
that.
More important. What's the longest you've done in the car then?
I mean 8 hours is kind of like, I've driven to like Buffalo. That's a long drive.
That's a long one, yeah.
I mean, driving to my parents' place, that's like a 10-hour drive.
Yeah, from this.
Oh, you know, Carmen Lagala and I, we drove all the way to Wilmington, North Carolina.
No shit.
That's probably the longest drive
to do
for comedy that I've done.
What room is there?
It is Dead Crow.
Yes.
Dead Crow comedy.
Yes.
It was right after Carmen did Colbert. It was one of her first headlining weekends. It was very exciting.
Shout out Carmen.
Yeah, shouts out to Carmen.
Dude, as we reminisce on the Vermont days, I remember as we're all coming up, and hanging out and like writing jokes and stuff, I just kept hearing about this Carmen.
This
Carmen that this moved
witch.
To New York City.
I know.
And was
the big city.
So successful.
Yeah, the big city.
And the first time I met her, I was so like
disappointed.
Yes, I was so disappointed in myself that I was like, really, this is who I was looking up to. My goodness. My God.
She doesn't live up to the hype, but she's basically a good kid.
Yeah, she's a good kid. She'll figure it out one day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That drive with her that we did to New York from here was 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to be in a car with Carmen for 10 hours. That was such a
fun
drive.
She's the best. She and I have done so many. Like, that's like honestly one of the most fun parts about doing road work is like going with somebody fun.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, I meant to go looking for it.
What?
The Cowboy Kendall picture.
Oh! from right after I won the contest, when like that local photographer, who by the way has since passed.
No way.
Yeah, Matthew Thorson.
Oh,
R.I.P. Yeah, he made me take these really crazy pictures.
No. The one where we were at
Fat Cats.
Fat Cats, yes. Mm. And there was like 8 people there or whatever.
I remember we did some show for like Mecca in Burlington.
Yes.
And then I like speeded us over to do like this like show that was like for some reason to me like basically worth almost dying for.
I think it was because you were headlining. It must have been one of the first times you were headlining or closing
maybe.
Or whatever. And
why did I agree to do this Mecca show?
Stage times. Who cares if it's one of your first time headline? You got to get everything.
Yeah, I just remember I was so any sort of show. I was just so excited.
Say yes
to
everything.
Show.
Yeah.
I would do anything to like get. Yeah, I would do anything.
Yeah, it was. Do you remember it was snowing?
I remember just like zooming us over there. And, like, we made it.
We made it. And then
we made it.
I was curious if we'd make it back because I remember being like, hey, Kendall, do you think I should drive? And you're like, I'm good.
I'm
good.
Like,
here we go, baby. I'm going to get in this car anyway.
Well, And we did make it.
We did make. Hey, we made it both times.
We did. We did. Those were the days.
Not a segue for this if you don't want to, and I can cut this, mm-hmm. but I heard you quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I didn't know that it was a point of, like, I should probably quit.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a tough decision to make? Yeah, I guess.
It was like, I got like a DUI a few years ago, and then, which I actually got out of. What's up? I've actually never been charged with a DUI, but
allegedly,
it was still a wake up call. And yeah, I spent like a few years
coming from a show too.
What
were you? Was it after a show?
No, it was actually July 4th.
All right.
It was it was coming from a barbecue.
Because there's so many people that like get lost in the fun of being at the show, and like we get free drinks and all that, and then you see someone leaving and they're like, all right, I'm gonna go drive 45 minutes now back to my apartment outside of the city, and it's like,
no, I wish it were as cool as that. No, it was a July 4th barbecue.
Have you ever made a mistake before?
Yeah, it was a mistake. But I did get out of it, which is important.
How'd
for
you
people
get
to
out
know.
Of that?
I'm pretty good. Like, I
well,
shut
yeah,
the
you're
fuck
a great
up.
Talker. Yeah,
I shut the fuck up. I mean, like, shut your mouth. I mean, shut your mouth. I want to be helpful, but I can't talk to you without a lawyer.
Oh, sure, got it. Okay,
yeah, like, just shut your mouth. Don't take the breathalyzer.
So okay.
Do what you're told, but like keep saying no to anything that you can say no to. Refuse to talk.
Don't take the breathalyzer?
Don't take the breathalyzer.
Right, because then you got to give yourself.
Not if you're, unless it's like going to exonerate you. but if you're guilty, don't take the breathalyzer.
So do you have to spend a night in.
Nope. Wow. No, the cop drove me home afterwards. This was in Vermont, and frankly,
that's Vermont, all right.
I was, yeah, that cop described me in court as a pleasure to work with. He really made it seem like we came together as some sort of a team on some sort of like shared goal, which was me staying out of prison. Frankly,
we really cracked the case together.
We really did. We came together, but I was I didn't come here to give you guys advice on how to stay out of prison.
That's good advice, though.
But if you are trying to stay in jail, be cooperative, but do not give them anything that they could use against you in court. Like, oh my God.
So that, how long ago was that?
That was in 2022.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I spent some time like trying to like sober up on my own, and then eventually got some help with it.
So, nice. What was the help, if you don't like, was it?
I did a 30-day stay, fully.
Cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was that a tough thing to cross of like, I got to check in somewhere?
I mean, it was expensive. So I was like exploring every other like option, but it was like not something. It was like, I was proving to myself that I was not able to quit drinking on my own.
There's been a couple of people who have talked about inpatient programs and like how expensive they are. And it's
insane. It was not cheap. And it was really like, you know, a last resort.
It sucks that you are crossing that threshold of like, I need outside help. I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, that's you, like,
and then that like, yeah, you go to that tough. Person, and they're like, "Do you have $10,000?" I'm not even asking you to say how much it was. But it's just like, it's insane to be like, "Fuck, I made it through this moment of like, I need the help. I need somebody else." I don't have the money, though.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We can't be...
Luckily, I had family who were, like, were excited. No, when I suggested...
We'll pay for the 60 days.
Yeah. When I suggested it, and it was my idea, they were psyched that it was coming from me.
That's...
And they, I mean, they had seen me making, like, attempts to... Like, it's not like I wasn't trying to, like, beat it on my own. But it was, you know, some people need a little help, and I was one of those people.
So,
and 30-day stay at Sauna in Stowe turned out to do just the trick.
It's called Sauna?
Mm-hmm, S-A-N-A. Would recommend.
I'm going to Sauna.
Yeah, and if you're getting admitted, negotiate on the price. Do what I did.
No way, you can haggle?
I haggled.
That's sick.
Yeah, I haggled.
It's like a market.
I pitted rehabs against each other. I straight up told them I'm looking at other places.
No way. Yeah. You treated them like car mechanics.
Yeah, I treated them like car dealerships.
What's the lowest you can go?
Yeah, I was like, what's the lowest you can go? Yeah, you can do that. I mean, for sure it worked for me, but I think you can do that with other medical care too.
That's incredible.
When you go to the hospital, always ask to see a written bill before you pay.
Yes, that's
anything.
A huge thing.
Itemized
too.
Bill. Yeah,
itemized
absolutely.
Bill, because then you can see the craziness.
Yeah,
of
I think
like,
that's like common knowledge.
$45 water. Yeah. It's like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you can negotiate. The prices on a rehab's website are suggested.
So last night, and I'll piece a little bit together mm-hmm. from your set. Dad seems like,
yeah,
like you said, intense.
Yeah, a hard ass.
How was he part of that conversation of like, hey, was it like a reverse? Shit, why am I blanking on
yeah.
the intervent? A reverse intervent? Like you sat people down and you were like, hey,
yeah,
I have a problem and I need money.
That's what it was. Basically,
was he one of those people?
Yeah, I think that they were like a not surprised that I was asking, and I think that he was like relieved.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
I think why I set that up was I was curious then of like what's that moment then if you could give someone mm-hmm. advice who's in a similar moment
yeah.
of like I'm gonna use the phrase tucking tail and
yeah.
kind of going to this group of people that like you might not have.
Yeah.
The best relationship with, but they are your
yeah.
family. What is that
well,
like?
Well, I mean, if you go and ask for help, it can really ruin any plans they have for an intervention. Like, it really blows up whatever sort of emotional sit down they had if you just preemptively go to them and say, I want to go to rehab.
Kendall, we brought you here for a reason. No, I brought you yeah. here. I'm going first.
Yeah.
You got, no.
Yeah.
Me first.
No, yeah. As in comedy, like, sometimes it's better to get out in front of the joke. Like, yeah, you want to get out in front of these things, and luckily like my family was willing to help me out, so it worked out great, and I was obviously like really motivated to like make it work.
So. Okay, is it really just a monetary difference then of like I'm literally being backed now versus like you think what uh-huh. snapped in your brain of like I tried myself, it didn't work, this
yeah.
is now like I'm motivated now for real? Was it because like you had
yeah.
a scholarship to go to Salma?
It was just like I was really wanted to quit drinking, but was struggling
yeah.
to like make it stick. So, you know, I would have like periods of sobriety, but it just wouldn't stick.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I needed a little support to like have like a lasting sobriety. So
what's
a 30-day stay like worked like a charm for me.
What's your... I guess advice then, or like example, not, you don't have to give it personal,
yeah.
example, but like advice then of like how to get it to stick.
Yeah. I mean, I hesitate to like give advice.
How come?
I just think of like, this, like so much advice just comes from people who are like just hacks. Like so the world is just so full of bad advice. Like
I can describe
what worked for me and people can just take from that
yeah,
whatever
that's
they will.
I think that's all that's the great way that's what I'm asking
yeah
man. Like
so yeah what worked for me
not that
was
you're
like
guru and like
yeah,
give your answers but like what
yeah,
yeah
what worked
what was,
for
yeah.
me was yeah like deciding I didn't want to drink anymore and then like asking for help, taking said help, and then like, you know, to me the idea of like getting out of rehab and then like drinking again is just like so unthinkable. Like that would be so humiliating. my fear of humiliation is like
an embarrassment mindset of like
yeah
oh God,
like
I
just think of it
out,
now
yeah.
as like just drinking is just like so far off the table, so that's
yeah.
luckily like I don't have like a more tortured story than that. Like it was definitely
you don't
like
have to,
rough
man. That's
like it was not a happy time. Like when
yeah.
you first go into rehab they're asking you like how are you feeling
do they take your shoelaces?
No, they didn't take my shoelaces. Mine wasn't like that kind of a place.
Yeah.
this was like a nice this was a nice place.
And here's the sauna.
Yeah, this place, I haggled them. I'm not even shitting you. So
Kendall!
This place had, I was getting,
you should be in business.
I was getting acupuncture at this place. Like, for like included in the cost. I like, it was a nice place. It's in Stowe. Like,
wow.
I haggled.
Also, I mean, both numbers are insane to begin with.
I know.
Like, I need help.
That's here's no small amount of money.
Yeah. Wow. That is.
Yeah. And then other people in there, like, were like, how much are you paying? And I was like, I'm not telling you. Like, I was like, these people, they're doing me a huge favor.
This goes back,
like,
this goes back to the court of law of like, don't say anything incriminating.
Like, these people gave me a $1 discount. What are you doing for me?
I can't believe you literally did get a scholarship to go to rehab.
I did. I got a scholarship. I insisted on it. I was like, I'll go somewhere else. I swear to God.
So that was 22.
Yeah. Oh, here's a fun little like tidbit. Yeah. I hosted an open mic at Inpatient Rehab.
No way.
Yeah. I for real did.
Like,
I
a consistent one?
No,
well,
just
yeah,
one.
It was 30 days, right?
Just
yeah.
one. They it's not like I was like advertising that I was a
yeah.
In fact, I was like not saying anything about it. Actually.
Yeah. Just real quick, how did you feel about comedy during this time? Were you like excited and wanted to get back to it? Or were you like, I don't give a shit about anything, even comedy? Like, I just need to.
You don't feel good. Like, they're asking you all the time, like, how do you feel, and you're just like, well, I didn't come here because I'm feeling amazing.
Yeah,
so that's how I'm feeling.
It's got to be tough then to do an open mic.
But I did host the open mic. They
strictly
they,
comedy
they did found, no it was anything
okay
and they at they said they were gonna do it, and I was like, well, I can host it if you want. And they were like, when do you want to do it? I was like, well, I want it to be my last week here for sure.
Well, so wait, like, hold on.
Like, if this goes bad, I want to go home after.
So they wanted to do an open mic in general.
Yeah, they
and
just wanted
like
okay, anyone to like
okay.
be able to like
okay,
go
got
and,
it.
Like,
so it's okay.
Read but, their like both... sad poem about cocaine or whatever it is that they
my
wrote.
My grippy socks.
Yeah, you're. This wasn't like a.
They
grippy.
Feel like locks.
Yeah. This was. There were no grippy socks or anything, but they did. They did ask me to turn inside out my sweatshirts that had beer logos on them. I showed up to rehab with so many clothes that had beer logos on them. I didn't really overthink that when I was packing. They did ask me to turn them inside out, and you know, they were from Foam Brewers, a lot of them, because of the many Thanksgiving shows I do there. Over the years.
Oh my God. That's so funny. You're like, I need clothes to wear at my 30-day rehab. Why don't I bring this beer tea?
I was like, these fit really good.
I need my comfy clothes. I need my safe space.
But that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, I'm going to need something comfortable. Like, I wasn't like entering a pageant. I was like going to like.
What a wonderful metaphor.
I know,
like,
yeah.
I need my comfy clothes
mm-hmm.
in rehab for alcohol.
Yeah.
Let me get my beer shirts.
Absolutely.
So the mic,
yeah.
How did that go, man?
Oh, I fucking killed. I like doing jokes. I had a lot to say after being in this rehab for like 21 days. At that point, I had a lot to express.
Oh my goodness! So get out.
Yeah.
And
I literally got out of rehab and then had a cab take me to the Hilton above the comedy club, and I opened for Rachel Feinstein the night of leaving rehab. I went like directly from
that
rehab.
Answers my next question then
back
of
to the
how,
stage.
Yeah, how
yeah.
how long did you take to get back on? Meanwhile, it's like
literally
hey Rachel
not, like hours. Hours.
How did you take that gig?
I mean, I was in contact with Rachel from rehab. Like, Rachel and I are friends. She was
that was
her husband is like an alcoholic who's like goes to AA and stuff.
That wasn't
so,
the
yeah.
question was not like what the person you work for texted you. No, it was like mm-hmm. They let you keep your phone.
You would get it for like an hour a day.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the... Okay.
Or if you break the rules, like, you can, like, keep it longer.
So your hour a day was like, Rachel, I'm calling in dates. When can I work?
Yeah, exactly. I was literally... Well, it's like, she was already in Vermont at the same time that I was in rehab. Like, coincidence? Probably not.
No, she... Yeah, she was like, well, actually, I can line these dates up. I know Kendall's getting out.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But
I know I'll have a competent feature to start the
she
show.
She was like, well, you're already up there, and you're getting out on that day.
How did you meet her?
Rachel? Well, yeah. When the comedy club was first opening, I think Nathan and Natalie, I had just won the contest. And so they offered me to open one of the first couple of weekends at the club. And I said,
no. Vermont's funniest, just as a side.
Yeah.
They have a contest.
They do
anyway,
a contest for people in Vermont. And it's a small thing. that I won, and then it was the year that the club was opening.
Yes.
Which was really good because they offered me to open like one of the first weekends. And opening a weekend at a club when you're like a really new comedian like that is an amazing opportunity because you can meet not only a national headliner, but you get to do like 5 shows in 3 days, which is very exciting when you're like only performing like a couple times a week or something like that. And you get to do like long sets, like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's honestly, that's like, we were doing tens at Franio's because we were all like,
yeah,
we,
but
know,
it's like bad.
Just, yeah.
So, but like to open at the club, you're not at Franio's, you're in front of a real audience.
Exactly.
So you're getting like a really good reaction compared to like what you're usually getting at Franio's. And it's an exciting thing. And they offered me one of the first weekends, but I said I didn't want to do it because I saw that they had Rachel coming in like a few months.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a fan of hers. I know that they're not going to use me on both weekends.
Yeah.
So I said, I would rather wait to do the Rachel weekend. And that worked out really well. I'm glad that I did that.
Wow. That's so you because, not even rolled the dice, but just like trusted your gut of like, I'd rather
work with this person. Yeah.
Wow.
I want the Rachel weekend. And I did really well, obviously, that weekend. And Rachel and I, like, hit it off.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to New York, I already knew her. And so there was, like, a couple of years when she would come to Vermont to do the club, she would, like, request me. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to New York, she would let me drive her and open for her.
Well, yeah, that's also, it's, yeah, you're helpful
but
for
I
her
kept,
as well.
But I but. Kept, I deliberately, like, I was thinking about selling my car when I moved to New York, and I deliberately didn't because I wanted to be able to open and do road work.
Which was another good gamble that has seemingly
paid off.
That was
another good gamble, yeah.
How annoying is it to find, do you have like a spot or do you just do street parking, roll the dice and hope?
If you have a car in New York, it like, your life revolves around it.
Moving around,
like you have to pick a neighborhood that has parking. Frankly, like I'm in Ridgewood where the parking situation is not that crazy.
But and did you pick it specifically because of that?
Kind of. Yeah. I take into account parking when I'm picking an apartment for sure. You have to. I mean, I once in New York, do they have street sweeping here?
Probably.
Do you have to like?
Oh my god! Wait, I can't believe. Yes, I got my car towed once because of street sweeping. Yeah,
sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I used to get so many tickets because they did street sweeping at like 7 a.m.
Ooh, that's not good during the drinking days.
No, not good during the drinking days. And I literally, my neighborhood now they move street sweeping is at 11:30. And I literally, like, when I looked at this apartment, I was looking at street sweeping signs, and I was like, she's perfect. Like, 11:30.
You're a college kid that drops the 8 a.m.
I can be up by 11:30. Like,
and is this the same thing of, like, if you're not up by 11:30 and you get the ticket, it's just, like, humiliating and embarrassing.
It is,
like,
yeah, it
damn,
is extra
what
humiliating.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, I know. It is extra humiliating. And you know what? I still have gotten a lot of tickets.
I know you were last night like, oh, it's just YouTube, but it's still super exciting. You're doing a special.
Yes.
When are you recording it?
I am going to tape it in May.
Okay. So is that why you're I mean,
that's why I'm like getting ready for it.
I was
going to
say you're doing like a run kind of now, yeah, starting
so
now.
So I'm trying to like run it in between now and May like as many times as possible.
Is it the half hour I saw last night, or are you going to do 45 and...
It'll be a full hour.
Okay. Full hour. Nice, dude.
I'll do a full hour for sure.
And then cut it down and probably.
We'll see.
Nice.
We'll see. It'll Matt Ott is going to direct it.
I know that name. Has he done
He directed
other...
Carmen's special.
Okay.
And he also just directed Caitlin Palufo's special.
Got it.
And he's done some others as well. And Ashley Gavin is going to executive produce it. And so is Rachel.
I'll tell you something off mic. Anyway, continue. Yeah.
What? Oh.
That's very, very exciting that you got someone with skill. Mm-hmm. Like I've watched.
I was. Specials I asked
great.
Matt,
like,
and I was. I wasn't sure that he would say yes. Yeah. But he's. I opened for Carmen when she was taping her special.
Yes.
So, if you watch Carmen's special,
I can hear you. In Carmen's
yeah.
special.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh, laughing. Oh,
there's a couple.
So
there's a couple parts. I've heard you laugh for 10 years. There's a couple parts where I'm like, no, that's Kendall.
That's Kendall. I was there. I was opening. So, but Matt has seen me for like. Has known me for
yeah,
a
he knows
time,
you're
so.
Not just going to do some bullshit. Like, it's going to be a real thing.
Yeah, he knows I'll make it good.
Yeah.
So I was excited that he said yes, because he's a busy guy.
I bet.
And I think he did an amazing job with Carmen's
he
special.
He did, man. That, I mean, Carmen.
Which has gotten almost 300,000 views.
Huge. It's
That's
it's,
a lot of views.
Yeah, Carmen.
More than a quarter of a million.
Yeah, dude, I. And I'm about 100K of them. The special is awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet Batch.
And Carmen didn't have a lot of YouTube subscribers like before that. So it's really on the strength of the material.
Yeah. And
it got that many views.
Dude, I also, though, like, there's so many humans out there. You can find.
Yeah.
A million people
yeah.
who will be like, oh, I do want to hear about geniuses who fucked their first cousin. That joke is. That
oh thank you
was
people
probably
responded to it last night. That joke can go down so badly if people aren't into it.
Is that the one
like
in your set
no
where it's
off ramp?
That's one of those where you're in it. You're
like,
in it.
What, yeah, when you're in it, you're in it. Yeah, I'm sort of like doing like as many long sets as I can
yeah.
and sort of figuring out. What to the ordering and like what to focus on.
What have you
and what I'm like learning is kind of
perfect.
Perfect. What I'm learning is you know it's kind of funny that like in like kind of asking audience members who've seen me over the years like what stuff I was doing the Woolen Mill Comedy Club over mm-hmm. like Thanksgiving
yeah.
and there's people there who've been like see me doing the Woolen Mill. They
forever.
Come back and they see me like
yeah.
year after year after year.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they'll be like they'll you know I see familiar faces and they'll be like oh you didn't do this joke or that joke or whatever.
Oh wow.
And it's so interesting that sometimes the jokes that people remember the most are not always the ones that like get the biggest laughs or the strongest reaction
yeah.
which is usually how I'm like gauging
right
what stuff to do I mean
I think that's how everyone gauges or
yeah
every
I always
at least
just
gauges
get the
of like
biggest
what's the
laughs
what am I
possible.
Getting the biggest reaction off of
yeah
you know? That is interesting
yeah
I mean,
so I'm
was it the jokes that just like you made a good point in or something you think like what
there's a joke I do about like being a kid who like did weird stuff like I would sit in this canoe full of newts. Have you heard me do that joke?
I might. You in a canoe sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's like it's just a joke about me doing like weird stuff when I was
yeah.
a kid. And people like, although it doesn't like sometimes it's obviously I wouldn't keep doing it if it weren't doing well enough on
right.
stage. But there's certainly like other jokes that I do that get a bigger reaction, I would say. But people like, oh. That joke gets a lot of people will ask about that joke.
Dude, I think.
Over, like, they'll be, they'll request it if I haven't done it.
I think, if I could guess at least, it's, anyone can be the greatest joke teller in the world,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm watching an hour of stand-up,
mm-hmm.
I want to know something about the person doing the hour.
I also,
like,
yeah,
I don't
want to
hear only, like, topical or political or what, like, I want to hear about a weird story of you in a canoe with newts. So,
yeah,
like, that in my brain maybe is why of, like, yeah, it might not hit as hard as some of the others, but, like,
yes,
it might be a breather, A, in the set of, like,
yeah,
okay, we can come down a little bit.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, like, they're learning something about you. It does kind of, like, endear you in a way and, like, get them more on your side.
My favorite, like, stand-ups are all, like, personable and vulnerable on stage, and I like to, like, know a little bit about who I'm watching.
Absolutely. I just think any person worth their salt is going to express
vulnerability. I prefer, like, more of a storytelling style.
Yeah, and, like, put themselves out there a little bit instead of just, hey, here's some great jokes. Like, okay, that's awesome, but, like, that feels robotic in a way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We have to land this plane soon, too, because land you the have plane. The studio. Ooh, it is. Yeah. Okay.
The studio.
The other question.
It's not that late. I have plenty of time to get over there.
I have known you, like I said, for almost probably about 10 years now at this point.
Yeah. More than that.
Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe
11 years.
I think we're coming. Yeah, probably, actually. 11 years.
Well, we were talking about the contest. That was in 2015.
Yeah.
So 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
So I've known you for 11 years. There's been a question I've had on my brain the entire time I've known you.
Yeah.
And at some point, it became too long.
Ah.
How old are you?
Wait, you don't know how old I am? Old do you think I am? Do you think I'm like 40?
No, I don't think you're 40.
Or like
I think
17?
I don't think that either. I think...
Do you think I'm older or younger?
I'm 31.
Than
you? I think you're older than me by like, I would guess like 33 or 34.
I'm 32. I'm 1 year older.
Wow.
Yeah.
This entire time I've been like,
93,
he's
baby.
Like 2 years old. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. 93.
All right, you can go now.
94.
Yeah. No, Ed, no. Just,
Ed, you were like winding up to that. I thought you were going to ask how big it was.
No,
or
that
something.
That was the point. Yeah.
The way that you were feeling so shy about
Kendall,
it.
I have something.
I was like, I thought.
Carmen and I, again, we were just hanging out, and I was like, how old is he? I've never known how. And
did
she goes,
she not know?
She was like, I think he's 30. I don't know for sure.
That's so funny. Carmen definitely knows how old I am.
Dude, same thing. I asked her.
Yeah.
Is it Gingras or Gingras?
And I also never got a clear answer.
God damn it.
And Joe is like too polite to ever correct anyone.
Yeah. That was half her answer was like, I've never gotten a clear answer, so I've just said both, and he's
too
polite.
I'm just
going to
call him Go Gingras.
Go Gingras.
It's a hard J, right?
He's not doing any stand-up anymore.
I haven't seen him doing stand-up in a while. I mean, he sort of like ascended to the highest. He like won the contest, and then he pulled a Chappelle and just like moved to Africa.
He's Vermont's Chappelle.
Yeah, I know. He's Vermont's. And people have been saying that for years about Go Gingras. With the hard J.
Okay. The silly stock question that I always ask, if you could eat one animal with no repercussions, no societal, like, and you know, no one, no judgment, no laws against it, what are you most curious to eat?
To see what it tastes like?
Yeah, see what it tastes like.
Ooh. What animal would I like to most taste?
Yeah.
And that I haven't already.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking a little bit before where I'm very on team this move by a parent of like, if you don't want what I'm cooking, you have to cook it for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you were saying that as a picky eater, they were like,
yeah,
hopefully he'll eat. And you just started cooking.
Yeah. My parents wanted me to like expand my palate when I was a kid. So they were like, if you don't like what we're cooking, you have to cook for yourself. Thinking that I would like be forced to like try new things. But instead I just like learned to cook. which was sort of like they were like, this is not how we thought this would go, but he is like learning skills. So I guess it's just like not really worth fighting about, like. And also, like, whenever you're like I was a pretty stubborn, like, maybe stubborn's, I mean, stubborn has a negative connotation. I had a strong will.
That's what I was I had a strong will.
Yeah.
A strong
so
will
it was
child.
Often, like, if my parents really, like, they would really have to pick a battle. They would really have to decide whether, because I had time on my side. I was willing to argue until one of us passed out.
And you, as a youthful child,
I had no job.
Let's go, baby. Let's argue.
I was like, so the side of passion and free time often. The side of passion often won. And I just got to cook whatever I wanted.
So were you cooking? I made the joke then, you know, saying like scrambled eggs. Were you doing that, or were you making like actual full meals? You're like, mother, please,
like,
go buy a pork chop. I am interested.
I wouldn't know. My mom, okay, that was like part of the rules. Like, you had to like use existing ingredients.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't like send my mom out to get pork chops.
Please go get me. I have a grocery list for you. Woman.
But also, like, I had like a picky kid palate. Like, I just wanted to like spaghetti and red sauce.
Of course,
that's like what I learned to cook at first.
Yeah,
and then like over time, I would like learn to like brown meat and put that in it, and then like over time, learn to make meatballs.
So you've grown from a picky palate, or are you still kind of picky?
I'm the kind of person who, if there's only bad food around, I will just wait. I can deal with being hungry, and I would rather just have something good later.
Dude, I'm a pizza snob. It's kind of like, I don't want to be,
not,
but I am.
First of all, I will choke down anything if it's like to be polite. I can and will do it.
Good. Yes. Good.
Absolutely.
Good,
I'm not doing anything rude.
Good asterisk.
Yeah,
yes. I
absolutely
will do the same.
I'm polite. If I hate your food, you'll never know.
Exactly. But if this is like a gathering where it's like, hey, we got some Domino's pizza, it's like, I'm just going to wait till later.
Wait.
I'll find something else.
Yeah.
You guys,
if I'm
can
in an airport
fun.
And there's no good options, like, I'll wait.
Yeah. What's
if I'm on the road and
I was
the only
say,
thing
is,
sometimes
that's,
I'll have
that's really
sometimes
hard.
Sometimes I'll
like
have
when,
McDonald's. Ooh, I'll have McDonald's.
Wendy's
sometimes.
Is my.
But I generally will hold out.
Yeah.
For something better than like Subway or
Subway used to.
I
be
haven't
incredible.
Been to a Subway in a long time.
Didn't it used to be so special?
Yeah. I
what
know.
Happened?
When I'm on the road, I find that, like, honestly, if you're in, like, suburban place, sometimes, like, a Chipotle is the best option.
Yeah.
It really
safe.
Is some places. It's kind of a safer option.
It's going to be a...
Yeah.
I
like
B plus.
Yeah.
You
I
know?
Like that Chopped is starting to, like... Have you ever been to a Chopped?
No, what's that?
Chopt. It's kind of like a Chipotle, but it's like more salad oriented.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, it's just like more bowls.
Sure.
But it's good.
Okay.
It's like healthy. It's like a healthy-ish option. If you're like on the road.
But I was gonna do they just like leave iceberg lettuce out then?
Yeah.
Is it
I
just
think,
various
I think Chipotle
that are left
is,
out?
It's leaving. But it yeah. It's a better option than like Wendy's.
Yeah, well, dude, Wendy's. After some gig in New Hampshire recently, I got Wendy's as the, like, it's after the show.
Yeah.
And whether it goes poorly or great, it's after the show. We're getting Wendy's.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting in my car eating, like, I'm sad now.
Yeah.
I'm not even sad tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sad now. I got to stop doing this.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I gotta go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's your animal though? As we
my animal, I am a beef eater. I would go cow.
Of no societal consequences? You're still eating a cow?
I'm still eating the cow. I mean, I'm from Vermont. People are like, how could you eat it? If you see a cow up close, like they're
point.
Disgusting and dumb animals, and I'm okay with feeding on them.
That's,
like they're,
you know, that's very like not honest, but like.
No societal consequences. I'm
you're
having
still
veal.
Eating. That's exactly. Yeah,
I'm eating veal. I'm eating veal.
You're still, yeah, I'm not even like, I'm trying human.
I'm
like,
eating human. No.
We've had people be like,
first of all, I don't
plants.
Think I would like yeah. humans because I've heard it tastes like pork and I don't really like pork.
That's why
I would never eat a human because I don't, I'm afraid of the taste.
All right. Kendall, I fucking love you, man. You're the best.
I love you too.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having
me. I will.
And thank you for cooking this delicious gourmet meal.
Of course. Follow Kendall. I'm going to put his links and all that special in May.
That's right.
Goddamn, is it going to be special?
It's going to be so special.
Thanks for hanging out. Love you lots. Bye.
Yeah, this was fun, Danny.